All right, we will convene the August 24th, 2020 Core MPO Advisory Committee on Accessible Transportation. We'll begin with the approval of the agenda. I will read over the agenda and then entertain a motion to approve. So Roman numeral one is approval of the agenda. Roman numeral two is action items.
Hold on.
Which includes approval of the June 22nd, 2020 Core MPO CAT meeting minutes. Resolution of support for SR307 corridor study. FY 2021-24 TIP project prioritization. Participation plan updates for virtual public involvement.
Okay. So I would repeat
what Roman numeral three status reports. The 2021-2024 TIP development, SR21 access management study Garden City, 2021 update of the Chatham County Savannah Comprehensive Plan, Roman numeral four agency reports, Roman numeral five other business, Roman numeral six announcements, Roman numeral seven other non-agenda information for reference, and then adjournment. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
The motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
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 Made and seconded.
Okay. Any opposed?
Who made the motion?
Chair will make a motion.
Chair, make the motion. And who seconded?
Pam
seconded. Tyron, you can say aye as well, I think. Because I have to repeat what you say to Tyron.
Okay.
He's on the phone.
Okay, agenda has been approved. We'll begin with action items. Number one is approval of the June 22nd, 2020 Core MPO ACAP meeting minutes.
Now we are talking about the minutes.
Is there any questions or changes to the meeting minutes?
Do you have any questions or comments on the minutes?
None.
Okay.
Okay.
If not, we will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as written.
So moved.
Pam moved.
Second. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Richard,
I'll tell you what,
seconded.
From now on,
we're
only going to vote on
to approve
oppositions.
The minutes.
Are there any oppositions? Okay. That will be cast in agreement. Wakota, when you're talking to Tyrone, could you mute yourself?
Oh, okay.
So that we don't all hear you?
Okay, yeah. Sure.
Okay, good. Okay, number two is resolution of support for the State Route 307 corridor study. And is that you, Wakota?
Yeah, I can talk about it. I think it's Mark's item, but I don't see him here. So basically, Chatham County wants to do a corridor study of a State Route 307 from the Georgia Ports Authority gate all the way to Okeechee Road. So we will find out through this study. We'll find out what kind of improvements need to be made. For example, widening or intersection improvements, or maybe signal synchronization. So that's what the study will find out. We did amend this study into the UPWP back in June, and we talked about it at that meeting. And then we also talked about this study at the August meeting. So what we are trying to do, this resolution is just to support that the MPO staff submit the funding application through the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee in September. So this is the requirement that we got to have a resolution. We got to have the study in the UPWP, and we got to talk about the study twice at the two different meetings. So this is just a resolution, just the ACAT to endorse the resolution to the MPO board.
And you said this is for State Route 307?
Yes, Dean Forest Road.
Yes.
Yes.
From the port all the way to 17?
To Okeechee Road, yes.
Okay.
To the 17. So it's a long corridor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And will that wouldn't include widening, would it?
Well, that's what the study will find out. what kind of improvements will be needed. I know because if I travel on 307, I see there are some like at grade crossings with the railroad. So the maybe yes. there, yeah. So so that the maybe there might be some improvements over there, and then some of the because there is a heavily traveled truck route.
Yes.
And the trucks need a very big radius, so some of the intersections might be too tight. So I think that this is what the study will find out. So we will have a secure consultant, and then they would do a study for the whole corridor to find specific recommendations for specific improvements.
Okay, is there a motion to endorse a resolution of support?
I still had a question. Wakoda?
Yes.
When they look at this, will they also be looking at whether or not pedestrians cross Dean Forest? Because you have quite a few trailer parks there. And I do believe I've seen people cross from one side of that road to the other. And it does look dangerous.
Okay. Pam, that will depend on what we put in the scope. Because when we do the call for project or call request for proposals,
yes.
we will develop a detailed scope.
Okay.
So the scope will say what they need to study.
Okay.
So if we want to deal, we want them to deal with the trucks, we want them to deal with the pedestrians, maybe cyclists, and also the regular traffic. So and then maybe the railroad crossings. We need to put that specific scope language in the scope. And then they will study all that. Yeah.
Okay, because I have a cousin that lives on Dean Forest in one of those trailer parks, and I go out there quite often, and I do see people walking along. Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned it, I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, I saw people bike over there, so I always have to go to the because I travel on 307 south of I-16 every day.
Okay.
So I have to move on to the left lane.
Okay.
Because I don't want to get the bicyclist hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people do that. So we need to put that in the scope.
Yeah, there are several trailer parks along there.
Yes. So right now it's we are trying to put in the application. So this resolution is just to endorse the staff to put in the application, the funding application. If we get the funds, and then we would do a request for proposals, and that's where you put in the detailed scope.
Okay.
Right now, we are not in that step yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was there a motion to endorse?
I did, James. This is Teresa.
And I'll
okay. Thanks. Okay, Teresa. Is there a second?
Patty, I make a motion. Second it.
Okay. Patty, you made the motion?
No, I seconded.
Okay, you second. Okay, good. Great. All right, is there any opposed to the motion? We'll accept that as tacit agreement instead of trying to get everybody to vote for it. Okay, third item is the FY 2021-24 TIP for project prioritization.
I will talk about the prioritization, but I need to share my screen. So I'll just click on share my screen.
That might be a problem for the interpreters.
Oh.
Let's see what happens.
Okay, let me see. Or I can just talk about it. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
And then the interpreter and the friend can still see each other, right?
So know that. You can try sharing your screen and let's see what the interpreters can see.
Okay, I'm not sharing my screen now. I'm just going to this website so that I know what kind of information I'm going to present. So you don't have to see me on this. Our current TIP fiscal 2018 to 2021 TIP Transportation Improvement Program will expire on June 30th of next year. So we're going to develop a new TIP that covers fiscal 2021 to 2024. And the new TIP will be the new programming guiding document for the next three and a half years, actually. So as a part of the TIP development process, the requirement is that as the transportation management area, we are supposed to develop a TIP prioritization process. We got to establish priority projects because we only have limited funding. So we need to make sure the limited funding goes through the highest priority projects. And for the MPO, we have the prioritization authority over three pots of money. The first part is a Z230, that's urban attributable funds. And the second part is the HIP funds, Highway Infrastructure Improvement Funds. And then the third part is Z301, that's transportation alternatives. So transportation alternatives can only be used for trails, bikeways, pedestrian sidewalks. Z230 HIP funds can only be used for highway projects. And Z230 funds are the most flexible. So if you remember, back in February,
that was urban, Wakota?
Huh?
The Z230 you said was urban?
Z230 is the most flexible, yes. It's urban, yeah. It's allocated to the Savannah urbanized area. Okay. So back in February, we did call for projects, and we received seven applications for the Z230 funds, and then we received three applications for the HIP funds, and then we received two applications for the transportation alternatives funds. Because some of the funding eligibility overlap. So of course, for example, US 80 bridges replacement, it applies for both the Z230 funds and then the HIP funds. But when we rank them, depending on who's ranking them, so you have different scores. And then we actually relied on the technical coordinating committee members. So when they rank the projects based on the criteria, and then they send me the scores and then do the compilations. So I would just tell you the prioritization results. So I would just go from the easiest one. Easiest one is the transportation alternatives. We got two applications. One is the Chavis Road Improvement Project. And then another one is Girard Avenue Improvement Project. Both projects will improve sidewalks and then probably provide some trails and bike lanes. So Chavis Road ranked a little bit higher than Girard Road. So that will be number one and number two. And then for the Highway Infrastructure Improvement Funds, we got three applications. US 80 at the bridges replacement to Tybee, that one ranked as number two. And I-16 at Jimmy Deloach Parkway interchange, that ranked as number one. And then Garden City's signal project, Stereo 21 at Priscilla Thomas Way, signal project ranked number three. And then for the Z230, I mentioned that we received seven applications. The top one is US 80 bridges replacement. And the number two is I-16 at Jimmy Deloach Parkway interchange. And the third one is the Garden City Signal Project. And then the fourth one is City of Savannah's Traffic Control Center Project. And number five is the Chatham Air Transit's Electric Bus Conversion Initiative. We just basically purchased an electrical bus and some charger. And then ranked number six is the Quaco Road widening in Pooler from I-95 to Westbrook Lane. And then ranked number seven is Old River Road Improvement Project. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is based on the TCC members' scores, and then they established ranking criteria. So we MPO only have the prioritization authority over these three pots of money, and then for the rest of the projects that we don't control the revenue sources, like Z001, 005, so we would recommend that whatever projects that we include in the cost band one of 2045 transportation plan would be considered a priority, because those are like production driven. So if a project is they are pursuing right of way, it probably ranked lower than the project that is going through the construction phase. So, but we had a separate prioritization methodology developed for the 2045 plan, and those projects have already gone through that prioritization process, so we would consider them priorities. So basically for the ACAD, we would just say, we would request that you just endorse our methodology. So for the other revenue funded projects, we would consider the projects in cost band one of 2045 as the priority projects. And then for the Z230 HIP and the Z31 funded projects, just accept the ranking results that I have just read to you. That's it. Any questions?
Any questions, anybody? If not, Chair will entertain a motion to endorse the 2124 TIP project prioritization methodology.
So moved.
Teresa, is there a second? Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome.
Okay, any objections? Okay, motion passes. Our final action item is participation plan updates for virtual public involvement.
Okay, the participation plan is the required document that MPU has to develop that guides how the staff does the public outreach during the transportation planning process. We actually update the participation plan every 5 years or every 3 years or whenever there's a major development. Normally participation plan goes hand in hand with the Title VI plan, and that probably more involved the ACAD community. If you remember that we adopted both the Title VI plan and then the participation plan back in August, and then in February and in March, this COVID-19 started. So in the current participation plan and Title VI plan, we didn't actually anticipate this. So we didn't include any information on how to do this virtual meeting, virtual public involvement. So we really need to add some language in there or the methodology in there. So right now we're just asking for volunteers because actually the CEC, several CEC members, citizens advisory committee members, several of them volunteered. Some of the technical coordinating committee members volunteered. So I would like to get some volunteers from the ACAD member as well, because we actually have the experience, right? The first time we used the GoToWebinar, didn't work out for us. And then the chairman insisted that we use Zoom because we need to see each other, the sign language. So Frank, yeah. But we still have the problem, like Tyrone cannot. So, I mean, we just need to figure out a way how to do this, probably do some research to find out what other communities are doing and what we can do. We can use the best practice and probably the next time and we can get everybody in.
So I have to be trained on it. So
first of all, I'll be happy to volunteer to work with you, Wakota. Mm-hmm. But if there are other members,
yeah, Teresa just
would like to volunteer, I would defer to them. I'd rather give the members a chance before I take up a slot. So Teresa said she would be happy to help.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that wants to volunteer to help on developing that methodology? If not, you can include me too, Wakota.
Okay. Yeah, it just I want to make sure next time we wouldn't have all these technical problems, so like sure. Everybody can at least call in or something. Right. So.
Yeah.
I think, you know, until we do this 3 or 4 or 5 times, we're probably going to run into little glitches each time,
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
the ability not the. Inability to share a screen and also see interpreters at the same time. So that's a problem.
Yeah. Also, I think that
we can work through those.
Yeah. Also, maybe the platform we're using.
Right.
Right now we're using Zoom. Last time we used GoToWebinar, didn't work out. And then we were using like GoToMeeting for CEC. That worked out all right, actually. So I mean, those are the things that we really need to do research on and then include that information into the updated participation plan and Title VI plan. It's just that every time we update these two plans that need the 45-day public comment period. So I mean, we will come back to you again and again, at least two meetings, I think, two more meetings. Okay.
So we still need a motion to endorse participation plan update for virtual public involvement. Is there a motion to endorse?
Teresa Brenner, I make the motion.
I'll second. Patty.
Okay. All right. Is there any objections? Okay. Motion is approved.
Okay. Motion has passed.
And we will move on to status reports. The 21 through 2024 TIP development.
Yeah. I just talked about the TIP prioritization, but the TIP development actually is more than that. So I'm just going to share with my schedule with you. So just to give you an idea what we are trying to do, I just backtracked all of this information. So the earliest time that we can adopt the TIP is in December, and the TIP development requires a 30-day public review. So if we adopt the TIP in December, and we got to have a draft developed at least in November, at the beginning of November. And then before that, this would be the revised draft. And before this, there will be a preliminary draft, because Federal Highway Administration and GDOT will review that preliminary draft. And then they will give us feedback, and we address all those comments. And then we have this revised draft for public review. So that preliminary draft need to be developed in September, actually, pretty soon. So that's why we are trying to schedule a meeting probably after this Wednesday's Quorum Peel board meeting with all the TCCs, so we can work out a lot of technical issues, the revenue projections, and how to allocate the funds to the priority projects. So we have the priority list, but how to allocate the funds to them is a separate issue that we really need to work out during this meeting. So basically, we are establishing the priorities in August. So I have a preliminary draft in September, and then have the revised draft ready in October-ish, October, November, and then have the final TIP adopted in December. So this is just information for you. This schedule might change. If there's any glitches, because there are still several things to work out, like a City of Savannah's Project Terrain, the Lesseps Avenue, and then the Chumanino Park Trail Phase 2B, we still need to make sure that they are sticking to their current milestone dates so that the funding can get authorized. Otherwise, we will be in trouble, or they will be in trouble. They probably wouldn't have as much funds as they have currently been allocated.
So you should bring it to us for action in October?
Probably in December, okay. But we will just give you an update probably in October. By that time, there should be a preliminary draft ready for your review.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think in December, yes, we will ask for final adoption.
Okay, what about State Road 21 Access Management Study in Garden City?
This is a Mark item as well, but he's not here, so I'm going to talk about it. Actually, Garden City submitted a study application or proposal, because there will be, I think there will be some major development around the school. So they want to have some like signal coordination project done over there, Stereo 21, and at the school site. So there will be some like turning lanes or intersection. So basically, we applied for the planning discretionary funds. We got the funds. So now we're going to develop the detailed scope, and then we will do like request for proposals, and then eventually procure a consultant firm to do the study. So this is just the status report to you.
Wacota.
Yeah.
What they're planning is to have one big school.
School, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be like I would call a mega school. So they have to look at the traffic patterns when they put all three of these schools on the same campus.
Yes, so it will has a lot of traffic impact.
Yeah, and 21 has a lot of traffic anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's why they are trying to do this study to find out what can be done.
Yeah, and yet again, I still bring up the idea that you do have children in that area that walk and cross 21, which is so dangerous, but nonetheless, please, if that's how we have to do this study the same way, make sure that they look at pedestrian and bicycle traffic in that area.
Yeah, because of the school and the children involved, I think bicycle and pedestrian would be a major component of this study.
I would hope.
So yeah.
When do you think that study will be completed, Lakota?
We haven't got the, right now it's like MPC and the GDOT has to sign a funding contract. Is we got awarded the funds, but we got to sign the contract or with the funding contract with GDOT before we can secure a consultant. And also MPC or Quorum PO will be the project manager, but the Garden City, since they are the project, the study proposer, so they are going to provide the local match for the study. So there got to be a memorandum of an understanding, MOU, signed between MPO and the Garden City just for that match as well. So right now we're waiting for the funding piece to be in place before we can actually go out to do this request for proposal. So I think Mark was talking about November to have a consultant.
Okay, 2021 update of the Chatham County Savannah Comprehensive Plan.
That's Jackie.
Hey, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to attempt to share my screen because I've got subtitles on here, and we're going to see if this works.
Okay, good.
Are you seeing anything yet?
Not yet.
If we share the screen and then Frank and the interpreter cannot see each other, that would be a problem. So I think you can probably...
If she has subtitles, that's okay.
I have subtitles, but it's saying, who's controlling the screen right now? Is that Julie?
Should it be Judy?
I'm trying to share my screen and it's not. Oh, can you see it?
Nope.
Yeah.
Whoever the host is can usually go down to the share screen button, click on it. There you go.
There we
go. Got it?
Thanks, Neil.
So, Neil is.
Are you seeing the plan 2040?
Yes.
Okay, good. And you should start to see subtitles as well. Is that working?
We are seeing subtitles, yes.
Great, perfect. Okay, awesome. Well, as Wakota mentioned, I'm Jackie Jackson, and I'm here at the MPC as well, and I'm with the Advanced Planning and Special Projects Department. And what I was going to take just 5 minutes and kind of go over the next big project that we're working on, which is the Comprehensive Plan update for the City of Savannah, Chatham County, and now the City of Pooler as well. So this is going to be a pretty big endeavor as we move forward over the next number of years. Hopefully my screen will move forward. Okay, it's not. All right, there we go. So as an update, generally, what I like to call our comprehensive plan is a vision document. Typically, it looks out to anywhere from 10 to 20 years for a local jurisdiction. Our specific plan, we're calling Plan 2040, and it will be looking out, as you can imagine, to the year 2040. So this plan is going to be a 20-year update. And what this really fundamentally looks at are all activities, or what we call elements, for local resources, local governments, excuse me, for transportation, land use, historic preservation, natural resources, and a whole lot more that I'll explain in just a minute. Specifically, as you can kind of see here, we've grouped them within five categories: housing, economic development, land use, which is zoning, and all everything else that falls underneath that as well. In addition to transportation, which is why I'm speaking to you guys here today, and then quality of life. And under quality of life, there's actually quite a number of elements, everything from historic resources to broadband discussions, which is internet discussions, to natural resources, and so on. The reason that this is important, a comprehensive plan is, honestly, it's required by the state. It's required by the Georgia Department of Community Affairs, or DCA, to be completed by every local government. And they must prepare, adopt, maintain, and then actually implement this comprehensive plan to maintain what's called a qualified local government status. And the reason that the QLG status is important is basically so local governments can tap into funds. So they can tap into dollars such as CDBG or GFA, water and sewer loans, et cetera, some rural dollars, et cetera. So it's really an important process that has to be undertaken by a local community to, one, ensure they can get that funding in place that they need, but also it lays out their roadmap for the future for the next number of years. So the Metropolitan Planning Commission has actually been in this game, if you will, as overseeing this process for City of Savannah and Chatham County since the 80s. And the last big update of the comprehensive plan was done in 2006, which was called the Tricentennial Plan. And then we've had minor amendments in both 2012 and 2016. But it, as you can see, now it's time to do that next round of updates. So all of this is all great, but the big part of this that really makes it important to everyone here today is that it has to be a community-driven process. It has to be something that we're asking the community, what's their vision? What are their strategies and how we can get to the next steps? And we need stakeholders such as yourselves involved in that process. If you're familiar with Chatham County's blueprint or the City of Savannah's recent Vision Savannah plan, the intent is to take a lot of this work that has been done in the past and really build on that and make sure that those efforts do not go away in any way, that they're also pulled into this update as well. And again, what this does for the community is it creates a sense of predictability, of transparency, and the community as a whole knows what the plan is for the future for your local community, for Savannah and Chatham County. So what I've got here actually is a table that the state puts out. And on the left, it tells you the different elements that are required if you meet the certain triggers on the right-hand side. So when you go down the list, again, everything from community goals to land use, housing. Well, fortunately for Savannah and Chatham County, we get to do all of them because we're meeting all the triggers. So everything that you see here today or on that table will be also intertwined within the comp plan itself. But as I mentioned, actually, we will be taking it a little bit further because we're going to also look at what I mentioned earlier, natural resources and number 8, but then number 9 is where we really broaden it quite a bit. And we pull in some of our blueprint discussions where we look at community health, education, public safety, broadband, which is a brand new discussion item for us, and historic and cultural resources. Number 10 is the Community Strategic Plan and Work Program. And what that really lays out is your actual work program for the next 5, 10, 15 years. It lists what the strategy is, what the goal is, who's going to do it, how much is it going to cost, and has it been accomplished or not. So all these things kind of get wrapped up into this fundamental comprehensive plan and vision for the future. And again, as I mentioned, I'm here today because transportation has such a huge focus. Over the past number of months, I've been working with Mark and Wycota and the staff kind of looking specifically at transportation initiatives that might be important as we continue to move forward over the next number of years. And some of those that have really started to come out, in addition to the ones that have already, you know, been addressed or highlighted in the past, or the discussions of sustainability. And that is not just with regards to resiliency, but really sustainability as a local government as well. You have to look at your economy, society, and the environment. And climate change is one that we just really didn't delve into the last plan as much as we are moving forward, specifically with regards to sea level rise as well. Looking at those rising tides and extreme weathers and what populations those impact the most within Chatham County. And then lastly, looking at transportation-oriented development. And you'll hear that term often called TODs. And what that really means are looking at corridors where you've got a lot of transportation, what we call nodes and possibilities, where you might be able to have certain intersections with a lot of activities there, but you're easily able to walk to home or to school or to the grocery store, that kind of thing. Really that walkable idea that we see so much in downtown Savannah. We would like to look at other corridors throughout Chatham County and City of Savannah to see if we can replicate some of that in those areas as well. So to lay all this out, we've started the process. As you can see here, the plan process really started back in March. It is actually set for final adoption for every jurisdiction within Chatham County is actually October 31st of next year. So October 31st of 2021 is our deadline for adoption. But all that being said, we've been working on the actual content of the document since, like I mentioned, March of this year. And we're just now starting to get out into the community and start talking about this process. So really October of this year is our kickoff timeline when we formally put it out there to the city and the county and we start asking for public participation and public feedback and that kind of effort as we move forward throughout the winter into the early spring of next year. We have our, as I mentioned, October 31st of next year. It sounds like it's far off, but it's not really when you start looking at the timeline for the government process. It actually, when around April of next year, there's a lot of back and forth between the different jurisdictions and the state. So we want to have this really complete by spring so we can start that process to get it through and formally adopted and approved by city, county, and all the jurisdictions. So kind of the next steps and what you'll start to see on the horizon is right now staff is working behind the scenes to come out with a really intensive community survey. Of course, COVID has landed, you know, a number of hurdles and roadblocks in our lap. So we're trying to figure out how typically a community process where you're doing a lot of face-to-face can now be done via surveys and virtually, such as today, or other methods, whether it's mailers or anything like that, where we can get community feedback. So we're creating a survey that will include all of the different topics here that we've gone over today, as well as, again, social media is going to be a big one where we've got our Instagram handle at Plan2040 and then Twitter and Facebook. We now have a dedicated website, we have a dedicated email address, and even a dedicated phone number so that you can call and leave comments or ask questions and staff members will call you back so that at any point you feel connected to the process. We've also taken on a branding for the plan itself. It will look kind of what you look similar to what you see here today, kind of bright and much more energetic than it has been in the past, hopefully. And that's really, again, to kind of get people to stop and think, you know, one, to just see what we're doing, but stop and think about, you know, what the vision is for their future, for our kids' futures, et cetera. So we really want to request as much feedback and participation. So part of this process is also reaching out to your group and letting me know, is there something that you want me to make sure that I'm addressing, or that there's a plan that's in place that should be addressed already through this process, or just general comments, whatever it might be. I'm just starting to make that, you know, getting out on the streets and making the word, putting the word out there about the process, and to start getting that feedback and participation. So with that, I promised it would be short. Hopefully it wasn't too long, but this is my contact information. And again, I'm here at the MPC as well, and I can take any questions, but we really would welcome your participation and insight into this process moving forward. So if you have any questions.
Any questions from anyone?
Jackie.
Yes, ma'am. Hello, Pam.
This is Pam Oglesby.
Hello.
I've participated for years with the different comprehensive plans and updates.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question, though. You mentioned walkability, and my question or comment would be, how is somebody going to go about making sure that in the walkability part of whatever we do over this time and over the years to come, that the visually impaired and blind population are considered? We know about sidewalks and whatever, but it appears that sometimes we kind of get lost in the shuffle as far as audible traffic lights.
Gotcha.
And if you're going to put in sidewalks, talk about walkability, then for me to be able to walk, then I have to have traffic signals that are audible.
Gotcha.
I'm dealing with something like that right now. GDOT doesn't do this. They did the West Bay Street project. I live on one side of Bay Street. I can stand in my window and look at the dollar store, but I cannot go there because they put the beacon, traffic beacons in, but they put no audibility on these features. The City of Savannah's traffic engineer department has promised me, because they made an agreement with the blind population years ago, that they would upgrade these beacons, but it hadn't been done yet.
And ma'am, gotcha. Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, please. Can we unshare her screen so the interpreters can see Frank, and Frank can hear what's going on? He missed everything Pam just said.
Sorry, I was going to repeat it. I knew that would be an issue. Let's see.
And believe me, I'm not just being picky just because I'm visually impaired, but it just seems like a lot of times people that see well don't remember and think about those that don't.
Absolutely. Let me
see. That's why we're here, Pam. Keep everybody on their toes. Okay, and any other questions?
Well, and I was just going to briefly build on that. So I 100% agree. Actually, I think you answered that question to a certain extent, that I think this is why we're making sure that we're coming to specifically to this group, because we realize there's a disconnect. And I think, as you mentioned, in our everyday lives, that we miss the boat sometimes, you know, and we own that to a certain degree, and me being the collective we. But I think we need to ensure that we have your needs and everyone here today's needs addressed throughout this plan and moving forward. And through that would be very specific strategies. And we need to know those specific strategies, like what you mentioned, for sure, addressed at least within this plan as a whole, so that we can forward that to the City of Savannah for their undertaking, for sure. Excellent. So as we move forward, I would again you know, beg and plead that we maintain your feedback through this process. And Pam, I know you've been at the table for as long as I've been at the MPCs, for sure. So I know you're steadily working towards the end goal, for sure. So I appreciate your feedback and participation as we move forward.
Thank you.
I'm sure we will be hearing from you later, Jackie, and yes, you will definitely be hearing from us.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to just recap for Frank. Pam made a comment about the audible crossing signals not having the audible part turned on in places, which defeats the whole purpose of having the audible signals. So that's what she was talking about, Frank. I know you couldn't see the interpreter while she was talking, but just wanted to catch you up on that. All right. So we're running out of time here. I want to try to wrap things up.
Interpreter.
Sorry?
He's saying you could see the interpreter. You're good. And the captions were on. There's only one line of captions. I missed kind of the bottom because it was kind of hard to see on there. But, you know, I was able to see it. It was a really small screen, but I was able to see. So
good.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure you're included.
So that's an additional tool that we were trying.
I like that.
That well, like because that. Good. Even visually impaired, I saw the captions.
Perfect.
Good.
Okay, our next meeting is October 19th. It will be another virtual meeting. I don't know if we'll use Zoom. We may be trying another platform. We may try out a few platforms and see which work best. There are some non-agenda information for references that are, if you got the email for this meeting, Pam, I know that doesn't include you.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the link, it lists some other references for your information. It's the Core MPO's response to GDOT's FY 2020 Title 6 questionnaire, the August 2020 TIP administrative modifications, GDOT project status report, Chatham County's project status report, City of Savannah project status report, the CAT project status report, and USDOT FHWA FTA reply to the AMPO letter. We're quickly running out of time. I know several of us need to go to the SCOTY meeting. Neil, do you have any information from life?
We're working remotely, trying to get everything done that we can. We've been deploying a couple ramps in our surrounding counties. But you guys might have called us on WSAV, I think last week. They did a story about our whole mod project program and how we're still looking for contractors. So if you know licensed contractors, please send them our way.
Great. Thank you. Pam, anything you want to add?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to add any?
I have one question.
Oh,
where can I go to see Jackie's presentation and get her contact information?
Jackie, can you answer that?
I can. The presentation was an attachment that should have been released as well, I believe, with the agenda. And
I'll go back.
Yep, it is. It's part of the, yeah.
But I can absolutely get your contact information if you'd like from WICODA and send it directly to you if that's easier.
That would be great. I wouldn't have to trip.
Yep. No problem.
James?
And
yes.
James?
Try another check. You let me know ahead of time so I can investigate.
Okay. Go ahead, Pam.
I needed to ask you, Wayne had asked me from SCOTY to ask you all about what happened with, or does it even exist anymore, the wheelchair accessible taxis.
Wycoda, is there any, I know it was the Freedom, what was it?
Cat Freedom.
Cat Freedom thing. Wycoda, do you know if there's any taxi grant or anything still in existence? I don't think
So. None that I know of.
It used to exist, and he was trying to find out what happened with it. James, you still hear me?
I hear you.
My screen is locking up. I think Zoom is having trouble today.
Yeah. Okay, well, James, can someone look into that?
We will. We'll check that out. I think Kat is the person to talk to about
yes,
that.
Yes, well, Kat Freedom, they left us. I started in 2018, so it was the May.
Yeah.
I started in April, and right. May of 2018, they left Chatham Area Transit, and we have not partnered with them since.
No, and I don't think there's any grant or anything else. Or any individual taxis that are doing
none
anything.
None that I'm aware of.
Do you have a quick update for us from Kat? I know we just got a minute or two left.
Okay, certainly. Just a quick update. Our transit advocates that answer our phones from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. are now virtual. We had a ribbon cutting ceremony last week. So they are all working from home and in an effort for us to mitigate the spread of coronavirus, just to keep those that can telework, keep them at home. So that process is going great. The numbers are still the same. You can call 912-233-5767 to make your reservations. And everything is working seamlessly, as I'm told, in that area. And the only other thing is that with the hurricane season here, it's a good time to review any evacuation plans that you all have. And we are partnering up with SEMA as always. So you can go to their website at www.chathamemergency.org to find out what we're doing if we have to evacuate. That information is on their site. But other than that, I don't have anything else to report.
Great. Thank you for sitting through the meeting just to say that.
Oh, no, so no problem at all.
We appreciate your update. Great.
What's her name? What's your name?
That's Ms. Morrison.
This is Bridget Morrison, Ms. Oglesby.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, if nobody else has anything, we will adjourn the meeting, and then everybody can rush over to their other meeting. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks, everybody.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Bye.